हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यतात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यतात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यथात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यथात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यतात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यतात्मभू पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यथात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजैः कृतम् अत्र प्रमाणं हि भवान् परमेष्ठि यथात्मभू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजैः कृतम्
Read the word for word meaning, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Atra, in this matter, pramanam, evidential facts, he, certainly, bhavan, yourself, parameshti, brahma, the creator of the universe, yatha, as, atmabhu, born directly from the Lord, apare, others, cha, only, anuteshthanti, just to follow, purvesham, as a matter of custom, purvajai, knowledge suggested by a previous philosopher, kritam, having been done. Translation. O great sage, you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. Others follow custom only as followed by the previous philosophical speculators. Purport. It may be argued that Shukadeva Goswami is not the only authority of perfect knowledge in transcendence because there are many other sages and their followers. Contemporary to Vyasadeva or even prior to him, there were many other great sages such as Gautama, Kanad, Jaimini, Kapila and Ashtavakra. And all of them have presented a philosophical path by themselves. Patanjali is also one of them and all these six great rishis have their own way of thinking. Exactly like the modern philosophers and mental speculators. The difference between the six philosophical paths put forward by the renowned sages above mentioned and that of Shukadeva Goswami as presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that all the six sages mentioned above speak the facts according to their own thinking. But Shukadeva Goswami presents the knowledge which comes down directly from Brahmaji, who is known as Atmabhu or born of and educated by the Almighty Personality of Godhead. Vedic transcendental knowledge descends directly from the Personality of Godhead. By His mercy, Brahma, the first living being in the universe, was enlightened. And from Brahmaji, Narad was enlightened. And from Narad, Vyasa was enlightened. Shukadeva Goswami received such transcendental knowledge directly from his father Vyasadeva. Thus, the knowledge being received from the chain of disciplic succession is perfect. One cannot be a spiritual master in perfection unless and until one has received the same by disciplic succession. That is the secret of receiving transcendental knowledge. The six great sages mentioned above may be great thinkers, but their knowledge by mental speculation is not perfect. However, perfect an empiric philosopher may be in presenting a philosophical thesis, such knowledge is never perfect because it is produced by an imperfect mind. Such great sages also have their disciplic successions, but they are not authorized because such knowledge does not come directly from the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. No one can be independent except Narayan. Therefore, no one's knowledge can be perfect, for everyone's knowledge is dependent on the flickering mind. Mind is material, and thus knowledge presented by material speculators is never transcendental and can never become perfect. Mundane philosophers, being imperfect in themselves, disagree with other philosophers because a mundane philosopher is not a philosopher at all unless he presents his own theory. Intelligent persons like Maharaj Parikshit do not recognize such mental speculators, however great they may be. But hear from the authorities like Shukadeva Goswami, who is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system, as is specifically stressed in the Bhagavad Gita. Om Akhyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitamena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamishcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasude Tapta Gangchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारणे। हरे कृष्ण। अत्र प्रमाणम ही भवान परमेष्टि यथात्म भू अपरे चानुतिष्ठन्ति पूर्वेषां पूर्वजै कृतम्। ओ ग्रेट सेज, यू आर एज गुड एज ब्रह्मा, द ओरिजिनल लिविंग बीइंग। अदर्स फॉलो कस्टम ओनली एज फॉलोड बाय द प्रीवियस फिलोसॉफिकल स्पेक्युलेटर्स। सो दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड, चैप्टर 8 इज एंटाइटल्ड एज क्वेश्चंस बाय किंग परीक्षित, एंड एज वी हैव बीन following in the last so many days, that this whole chapter is just a compilation of questions. So this present verse is not a question but is a comment or an admission by Parikshit Maharaj of what he thinks or why he feels that he is asking these questions to Shukdev Goswami. What is the justification? Because when Parikshit Maharaj was asking these questions, he was seated on the banks of Ganga in the presence of a huge assembly of sages. And in the past so many other Bhagavatam classes we have already discussed that why Shukdev Goswami was chosen to be the speaker. And here Parikshit Maharaj is reconfirming, like, you know, affirming that yes, why you are approached or why I am asking these questions is because of this reason. That others, referring to the other sages, he says that they are just following a custom of speculating according to these different systems of philosophical speculation, but you are different. And here he is comparing Shukdev Goswami to be like Brahma. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Suta Goswami is approached by Shaunakadi Rishi in Naimisharanya, so before starting to answer their questions, Suta Goswami offers his obeisances to Shukdev Goswami. In the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, they are specifically the glorifications of Suta Goswami. And there he says, So Suta Goswami says in his glorification, Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayana virahakatarajuhava putreti tanmayataya tarvo bhinedus tam sarva bhutaridayam munimanatosmi. There Suta Goswami is praising him as tam sarva bhutaridayam munimanatosmi. That, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukdev Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. So he is comparing Shukdev Goswami to be as good as Paramatma, because who can enter the heart? Yes, we know some very nasty desires do enter our heart. But that is our heart. He is saying sarva bhuta hridayam, that you are capable of entering into everyone's heart. And only one person who enters everyone's heart is Paramatma or the Super Soul. As is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. So here Parikshit Maharaj is comparing him to Brahma. Previously, Suta Goswami is comparing him to Paramatma. So, we can know, we understand that Shukdev Goswami is special. So, in this today's class, from this verse, what we will focus on is three aspects. One is In this verse, a reference is made to pramanam or evidence. So we'll speak about evidence of spiritual truth, because in the purport, Prabhupada refers to the six systems of philosophy, which are very important for understanding the absolute truth. Then we'll focus on the position of the speculators, because in this purport also, as well as the translation, there is a comparison between others, Atra, and Shukdev Goswami. And then we will also see the special position of Shukdev Goswami. So, starting with this, that you know, Shukdev Goswami is special, he is referred or compared to as Paramatma and Brahma. That doesn't mean that he is Paramatma or he is Brahmaji. The word used is Yatha. So, like. So, why he is compared to like the Paramatma or Lord Brahma? So, Prabhupada himself, he writes, he clarifies that in the purport, because he is representing them. Thus, the knowledge being received from the chain of disciplic succession is perfect. One cannot be a spiritual master in perfection unless and until one has received the same by disciplic succession. So, the person who has received in disciplic succession, he is representing the authority. So, therefore, he is also the authority. So, therefore, in the Gurvastakam also we pray, Sakshad Haritvena. So, the reference is that you are as good as Hari. No one should make a mistake that the spiritual master or guru is Hari. There is a difference between as good as and is. We must respect them, respect the spiritual master as good as God, but we cannot accept him as God. There is a difference. Some devotees made a mistake in the initial years of ISKCON, that they started saying, actually Srila Prabhupada is Krishna. So many things have happened in ISKCON. This also has happened. And Prabhupada was furious. And those who speculated this concept, they were, for the time being, for some time, they were removed or expelled from ISKCON. So this is very important to understand. And you know, when we say it is very important to understand, so that means that, you know, we are supposed to think, not just hear and speak it as it is. That is good. But then we are supposed to understand. And in the next verse, Suta Goswami says, praising Shukdev Goswami, Yaswanu bhavam akhila shruti saram ekam adhyatma deepam atititirshatam tamondham samsarinam karunayah purana guhyam tam vyasa sunam upayami gurum muninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So, the word used is Yasvanubhavam, Sva Anubhavam. So, he had personally assimilated. He had not just heard, but he had actually realized. So, words in written form, you know, the language, it is like information. But when a person applies intelligence to understand that which is written and tries to understand it, assimilate it, that is called as knowledge. That which actually you can make sense of it, then it is knowledge. Otherwise it is just information, like some assembly of alphabets. Just like computer language, so it has, you know, all that digits. So it is a bunch of information, data. And a person who understands that data and can make use of it is called as data scientist. So that is a new branch of profession nowadays. So knowledge is that information which is actionable, which can be understood and can put into action. And it becomes realization when we act on it and gain some experience that yes, it works. Or if it is not applied properly, it doesn't work. Then it becomes realization. So here, when it is explained about Swanubhavam, so it is heard, understood and applied. So between information and realization there is application, and for that it is important to understand. So we can see that both these verses are very important, because here he is praised as Paramatma or Brahmaji, and he is also explained that, you know, why he is elevated to that status, because he has applied himself to that knowledge and gained realization. In the discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the 61 explanations of the Atmaram verse, one of the last verses that he quotes in that discussion. So he says, quoting Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva says, Aham vedmi shuko veti, vyaso veti na veti va, bhaktya bhagavatam grahyam, na buddhya na chatikaya. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, I may know Shukdev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, may know. And Vyasadev may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Puran, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods or imaginary commentaries. So basically we are referring to this verse also to establish that how Shukdev Goswami is special. Lord Shiva is saying that I may know, Shukdev Goswami may know. Vyasadeva, I can't really say whether he knows Srimad Bhagavatam or does not know. Now he is the person who actually spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukdev Goswami. But Lord Shiva is saying that I don't know whether he knows or not. But he is establishing that Shukdev Goswami is, he may know. Because this is something which cannot be understood by mental speculation or just by material intelligence. But it can be realized only by devotional service. So understand and then apply. So, you know, we'll see that, you know, what the difference between the bhakta and the mental speculator is. And we also learn from various other descriptions of the, you know, personality of Shukdev Goswami from different scriptures, that how he is so special. It is described in Skanda Purana, that Lord Shiva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati ji. So there are different versions. Skanda Puran mentions that this discussion or this discourse between Lord Shiva and Parvati was taking place in Ekamravan, that is Bhubaneswar, the present day Bhubaneswar that we understand. But there are also descriptions that this was being spoken in the Himalayas, where Lord Shiva is speaking the Amar Katha, or that Katha by hearing which a person will become immortal. And we have heard, I don't know, that spot which, you know, where this discussion was happening is the Amarnath. So in any case, Skanda Puran mentions that Lord Shiva was speaking this story or this Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati ji, and while he was speaking, he was so absorbed. So he said that, you know, when I am speaking, I may actually get absorbed and may close my eyes. So you should not close your eyes. You should not sleep. So if you are hearing, so how will I know? So you have to keep affirming again, like make that sound that yes, I am hearing. And Lord Shiva, he starts speaking, and then as he mentioned, you know, he gets absorbed and he is, you know, with eyes closed, and he is just relating the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Parvati ji actually falls asleep. So it is not uncommon, and we can see now few following Parvati ji. So, but at that time there was this parrot, Shuka. He was listening. He was actually eager to listen. And he kept making that sound when Parvati ji slept. And after speaking the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Parvati ji asked the question that you did not describe anything about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. He said, what? I already described everything. This is 12th canto. Complete. So it's like, you know, as we have heard someone say that after hearing the whole Ramayana, you ask, you know, the question, Sita is whose husband? So that shows ignorance. So Parvati ji, when she asked that question, so Lord Shiva, then who was making that sound if you were sleeping? And then he kind of, you know, does an environment scan, and he sees, oh, there is this parrot. So he wants to, you know, chastise him. So he starts running behind him with his trishul. And then Shuka, you know, he takes the shelter of the wife of Vyasadeva, and this is how Shukdev Goswami is born. So that is one story that we know. So makes Shukdev Goswami very special. And also another story is described in Anand Vrindavan Champu, that actually Shukadev, that Shuka is really the parrot of Srimati Radharani, who is always beside Srimati Radharani singing the glories of Krishna. And we have heard that when Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they all go back to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan, after completing the pastimes, so they ask Shukadev to stay back. And so he was feeling that separation from Lord Shiva, from Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So in that anticipation to hear about Krishna and feel that association, that's when he comes to hear that Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva. So anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam like Shukadeva Goswami heard will not feel any separation from Krishna. So that's how Shukadeva Goswami is very special. And as already described by Suta Goswami, you know, besides these stories, which are more of an esoteric in nature, the practical thing that we can understand from these is that Sukadeva Goswami is special because he is sharing this knowledge having received from the unbroken chain of disciplic succession. And so, anyone amongst us, if we follow this process and hear properly and assimilate, then we also become part of that disciplic succession. It is also mentioned in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how, you know, this, it is very important that, you know, whenever we hear, we just don't hear, but we also try to understand. So that is what Sukadeva Goswami is actually praised for, that yasvanubhavam. And Suta Goswami in the first canto's third chapter, when he is, you know, answering the questions of Shaunakadi Rishi, he also mentions that he thanks them first of all for asking those questions and giving the opportunity to speak, and then he says, Soham va shravayishyami yathadhitam yathamatihi. That, O learned Brahmanas, when Sukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, and thus by his mercy I learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from the great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him, and as I have realized it. So, you know, when we hear from the authorized, authorized disciplic succession, then that's the guarantee that what we are speaking will be also free of any mistakes or errors. And therefore, you know, the second topic that we wanted to discuss is, what is the proof that what we are speaking or what we are hearing is actually authoritative, the praman, the evidence for the absolute truth? So, for all of us who are sitting here, you know, in our, if you remember the early days of our getting introduced to Krishna consciousness, especially the ISKCON way, you know, so three things we learn right at the beginning, and that is the three evidences. What are they? So that, you know, when we learn that, when we hear that, that gives so much confidence that yes, I know the truth. And I can, and when a person has that, you know, initial days, so it gives so much, you know, confidence that we are, you know, even a new person, so to say, just few months, and we get that, you know, strength to even challenge sometimes, you know, very learned people. So what are these? The three pramanas, that is pratyaksha, anuman and shabda. That is, you know, knowledge gained by empirical senses, empirical knowledge or knowledge gained by our senses, pratyaksha. And anuman is by, you know, mental speculation or by, you know, philosophizing. And then the third is shabda, or hearing from the authorized sources. So, you know, this is certainly important, and we also understand that the best evidence is shabda, because the origin is the absolute truth. As Prabhupada here is mentioning in the purport, Vedic transcendental knowledge descends directly from the personality of Godhead. So what is this Vedic transcendental knowledge? The knowledge about God, the knowledge about the absolute truth. And who can speak about God better than God himself? Just like, who can speak about us better than us? Sometimes we may have some misunderstanding about us, and others may have a better understanding of us. That is also possible. But in case of Krishna, that is different, you know. Krishna knows about himself better than anyone else would know. So therefore, you know, the knowledge about Krishna descends from the personality of Godhead. And then by his mercy to Brahmaji and Narada and Vyasa and Shukdev Goswami. So therefore, you know, Shabda, it gains that credibility because the source is not some, you know, human who is prone to different, you know, limitations. And we also learn those four different limitations of limited perception because of imperfect senses. And then, you know, misunderstanding or getting into illusion, thinking something to be different than what it is, and then committing mistake based on that understanding. And then to cover it up, we cheat. So that is not the situation with the Lord. So therefore we understand, yes, Shabda is the perfect. And sometimes when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, and we read and we speak as it is, which is good, which is very important. But we also, there is a tendency that we start minimizing the Pratyaksha and Anuman, which is not the case. If they were not of any value, they would not have been listed as sources of evidence, Pramana. They are Pramana, just like Shabda is, but they are secondary. Just like, you know, in the justice system, so there is, it is very important to decide anything based on evidence. If there is no evidence, then things cannot be decided. And there are different theories, which is called as, you know, theories of justice system, which is called as jurisprudence. And that there are different rules of interpretation and the evidence. And it is said that the best evidence is the documentary evidence and the witness himself. That is the best evidence. So the person, you know, who knows, you know, he is the best evidence. That's why witnesses are cross-examined to, you know, ascertain, is this witness reliable or unreliable? And then whatever that witness, who is the primary source of evidence, speaks, that is corroborated by secondary evidence. So, similarly, the Shabda is the primary evidence. And that gets corroborated or gets solidified by Pratyaksha and Anuman. They cannot be seen, or it cannot be just, you know, seen in isolation of all these other. If that was not the case, then there is no meaning to yasvanubhavam, that by his experience. So, bhakti has two angas, that is jnana and vairagya. So that jnana is, you know, the knowledge which is, you know, the Shabda. But there is, bhakti is more than that. It is about experience. And whether that experience is based on the authentic knowledge or not, that makes that experience really credible or not so credible. But bhakti is about experience. That's why it is called as bhava, right? That which is experienced. And how will we experience something unless we actually try to understand, try to apply ourselves, you know, both in the mind and in actions? So therefore, it is very important to, you know, not minimize them, but use these other two pramanas to support the Shabda Pramana. That's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is also mentioning. When, you know, Sut Goswami says, Yathadhitam, as I have heard, Yathamatihi, and as I have understood, and experienced, and applied, right? So, many times there may be a tendency amongst devotees that we just repeat as it is. And sometimes in that repetition, we may or may not have the understanding of what should have been repeated or what should not have been repeated. Because it is not just enough to know, but it is also necessary to understand what to speak when and what not to speak. That comes by deliberation. That comes by thinking. And again in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, where Maitreya and Vidura Samvad is going on. And when Vidura also asks many questions from Maitreya Rishi, Maitreya Rishi also speaks in the 36th verse, Tathapi Kirtayamyanga Yathamatihi Yathashutihi Kirtim Hare Swam Satkartum Giram Anyabhidhasatim. In spite of my inability, whatever I have been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am not describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech. For otherwise, my power of speaking would remain unchanged. So if it is not properly thought and realized, just repeating, he is saying, my power of speaking would remain unchanged. So, yathamatihi yathashrutam. So it is not just what I think, but it is also based on what I have heard. And it is not just what I have heard I am repeating, but I am repeating also by understanding. So, you know, it is therefore, you know, it can't be, you know, there is no problem in repeating it again and again, that whatever we hear, whatever, you know, we are reading, so we should not just read, but we should also try to understand, apply our God-given intelligence. And how to apply our God-given intelligence? So then, you know, there are these different systems of philosophy which are then presented by these great sages, that how, you know, this knowledge about the absolute truth can be approached. So, you know, these six systems of philosophy are basically six different ways of approaching the absolute truth or the understanding of the absolute truth. So, while it's just like, you know, you are climbing a mountain, a summit of a mountain. So, there are different ways in which you can go. Some ways would be a shortcut, but it will be infested with so many dangers. Some ways would be such which is often walked, and it is a sure way, maybe a little long way. So, there are different ways to approach it. And these six systems are basically, you know, how to exercise our ability to understand the absolute truth. And these are presented only in the human society, because we have the ability to understand and speculate. So now sometimes, you know, we feel that, you know, the word speculation is something that is like a hot potato. You know, we should not speculate, right? How many of you feel that, you know, we should not speculate? Most of us, we feel that we should not speculate. In fact, Prabhupada is also writing in the purport, material speculation. But then there is also philosophical speculation. And what is speculation? The word speculation is basically based on spectacle, or something like which you see and then you anuman or make some judgment or make some inference out of it. But that word speculate also can be seen as introspect, to understand, you know, by reflecting in the mind, within ourselves. So this reflection is good, introspect. But a material speculation, or just seeing and making some inference, may be infested with dangers. So, you know, how to then apply this faculty of understanding and deciphering in a proper way, that is described in these six systems. And Prabhupada, in one of the purports, in the first canto, first chapter itself, seventh verse, he says that besides Vyasadeva, there are other sages who are the authors of the six different philosophical systems, namely Gautam, Kanad, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Ashtavakra. Theism is explained completely in the Vedanta Sutra, whereas in other systems of philosophical speculations, practically no mention is given to the ultimate cause of all causes. One can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy, so that one can present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance of all other systems. So for the last sentence, I may not be qualified, I don't understand fully, but I am just referencing that these six systems of philosophy are not useless, but they have an application. And Prabhupada mentions these six names. So what are these six systems of philosophy and what do they really actually present? So we are now on the third topic of, you know, the comparison between, the position of these philosophers or philosophical speculators. So these six systems are, the first one is Nyaya, which was propounded by Gautama Rishi. And it basically establishes rules of logic and reasoning, so that we understand what is of any evidentiary value and what is not. So unless we understand how to really understand something, you know, it is like, you know, our exercise would be useless. So Nyaya is one of the first things which actually gives that, you know, the tools to understand or, accept something as evidence or not. And then Kanad Rishi, he propounded Vaisheshika, which is basically the study of Prakriti, down from atom and molecule up to the universal creation. So from the micro to the macrocosm. And yes, you know, when a devotee goes through all these systems, so he understands that yes, from the micro to the macro, you know, that which unifies everything is Paramatma, is the Lord. So although they don't mention specifically about it because they are just dealing with the subject, but a devotee or a person who is actually having the privilege of knowing the Shabda Praman and then applies these things, so he or she can gain more deeper insights into his or her own conviction of the absolute truth. And then Kapila Muni, he describes Sankhya philosophy, which is basically discussing the relationship between the Prakriti, the material creation, and Purusha, who is the creator. And we see that in the third canto, again, he is describing exactly that, which was the question of his mother, Devahuti. And Patanjali Rishi, he describes yoga, and he gives the tools of how to focus the mind, purify the mind and the senses to understand the Purusha and how to connect with that Purusha. Yoga means to connect, and that connection necessarily opens the doors to liberation. So finally coming to the point of Mukti. And then Jaimini Rishi, who described the Purva Mimamsa, which is also referred to sometimes as Karma Mimamsa, he focuses more on all these other four systems. They have spoken about the knowledge aspect more. Here he speaks about the dharma or the duty or what actions one should perform. Because as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that not even for a moment anyone can remain without performing actions. So even though we may have so much knowledge, but if our action is not in line with that knowledge, then it is all a waste of time. So he lays down some, codes of how a person should act according to duties. Now they may be also, he may be describing duties only in terms of material achievements. But as we said, a person who has the understanding of Shabda, so he knows, let my duties be only towards achieving the shelter of Krishna. And then finally Vyasadeva, he presents Vedanta, which is also called as Uttar Mimamsa, or Mimamsa is basically also focusing or understanding, accepting, getting convinced in the mind. So Uttar Mimamsa is the final conclusion of all that process. And he focuses on relationship of the soul and the super soul, which is what Prabhupada also mentions here, that in the Vedanta, it is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is established. And therefore it is, Vedanta is considered as theistic. Although we know that Vedanta also has six branches. That is Advaita, Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, and Shuddha Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, and Vishishta Dvaita, and then our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, all these different six systems of philosophy, basically, they are giving the tools to help the student to apply himself or herself to this Shabda Praman. So that when we apply ourselves, both with our subtle, that is the mind and intelligence, and the gross, that is the body, then we can actually realize and experience the absolute truth. And when a person is able to do that, then such a person becomes qualified to represent this chain of disciplic succession. So as Prabhupada says, thus the knowledge being received from the chain of disciplic succession is perfect. One cannot be a spiritual master in perfection unless and until one has received the same by disciplic succession. So the secret, that is the secret of receiving transcendental knowledge. So Shukdev Goswami, he is special, Parikshit Maharaj is speaking, because he is knowing all these different systems and he has applied himself to understand all of that through the disciplic succession. And therefore, because he is representing that disciplic succession, he is comparing him to Brahma, who also heard directly from Krishna. So he heard directly from Lord Shri Krishna, and whatever he heard, so he heard just the sound. And in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that, you know, Tene Brahmaridaya Adikavaye. So he heard that sound from within his heart. And whatever he heard, that was firmly established and realized when he actually saw the glimpse of the spiritual world. Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, he actually gave the glimpse of that spiritual world. It is described in the second canto to Lord Brahma. And that's where his intelligence got trained into how he should create. Because he had darshan of the spiritual world. And we understand that, you know, he had that. So he realized through pratyaksha, by his own purified senses, the senses are purified because he heard this knowledge which is authoritative from the spiritual authority, Lord Krishna himself. And that's how, you know, he is accepted as the most, important and respected authority of the Vedic knowledge. So, you know, today's discussion, from this verse, we focused on these three topics, that is Pramana or evidence, and how there are these different types of pramanas. Shabda pramana is the primary, but the other two, they are supportive, they are secondary, they are corroborative. So we should not minimize. It is very important. The experience is very important. Like, you know, we hear so much that, you know, the holy name is so sweet. Right? But unless we chant, how will we experience that sweetness? And when we come to temple and we sit in kirtan, and that kirtan is sung, is conducted in such a sweet, melodious way, then the understanding, you know, the truth that Krishna is non-different than the holy name actually gets deep within the heart. But if the experience is different, if the experience is of the kirtan that it is just so much loud sound where you really can't hear the mantra except all the other sounds, that experience is not, you know, solidifying our understanding of holy name is sweet or kirtan is sweet. So experience is very important. So it cannot be minimized, but it is supporting the primary evidence, that is Shabda. And the different sages, the six sages. So Prabhupada mentions Ashtavakra, but actually Ashtavakra is not one of the sages who gave the six systems of philosophy. But yes, he also gave what is called as Ashtavakra Gita, which is describing about the Atma and Paramatma. And we discussed about the special position of Shukdev Goswami, referencing from the stories of Lord Shiva speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, that he is the personal parrot of Srimati Radharani. And then he also is someone who heard and also realized the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you know, these different systems of philosophical speculation, they are important if they are seen in a supportive role to the Vedanta or to the Shabda Praman that is received through the Parampara system. So with this we'll close our presentation. If there is any question, you know, we can take it later, because I have exceeded 10 minutes beyond the time of the class. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Sukadeva Goswami ki jai.